1. Summer in Istanbul. Roses in a hammered silver urn. Fresh ground coffee in a shiny brass handmill. The rich tang of fertilizer and fuel oil hung over the damaged cafe. Starlitz could smell the hot caramel aftertaste of the car bomb right through the baked metal, smashed cement, and burnt upholstery.
"Where are the girls?" said the Turk.
"The girls are in Cyprus. They're partying."
"With Greeks?"
"Oh, heavens, no," Starlitz assured him. "The girls are in the fun part of Cyprus. Turkish Cyprus."
The Turk smiled. He picked open the lid of the coffee pot and deposited a heaping spoon of brown sugar. Starlitz leaned back in his wrought iron chair and folded his plump hands over his lilac waistcoat. He and the Turk sat in companionable silence, with hooded eyes behind their designer shades, and watched the pot reach a boil. The Turk, who called himself Mehmet Ozbey, was young and rich, with a film star's good looks. In his Italian leather jeans and camel hair jacket, Ozbey was the picture of masculine chic. Starlitz felt at peace. Local events were going very much his way. There had been a time in his checkered career when he would have shown up in Istanbul 2 days before a car bomb. He would have hit town with the plan and the contacts and the agenda, and he would have found the old city strained and jittery with fatalistic Ottoman tension. Here at the tag end of the 20th century, however, Starlitz was pampered by circumstance. He had arrived in Istanbul 2 days after a car bomb. The catastrophe was behind them now. They had entered the professional realm of consequence management. Bored Turkish cops measured their new monster pothole with yellow metal pull tapes. Indifferent janitors swept up the scattered tonnage of broken glass. Istanbul downtown girls in their chunky gold chains and Chanel suits were trying to window shop through the street's battered length of plywood sheeting. Mere domestic terrorism could not cause Mehmet Ozbey to break a business appointment. The shrapnel-damaged cafe was almost deserted, but the young pop promoter had arrived bang on time, clean, shaved, sober, and toting a white calfskin valise. The cafe Ozbey had chosen was lovely, despite the plastic sheets on its windows, which had all been shattered by the car bomb's concussion. The cafe staff doted on Ozbey, touched by his loyalty during their trying circumstances. They kept tiptoeing up to offer lacquered trays of sliced melon and baklava. A young woman passed the damaged cafe and caught sight of Ozbey. Instantly entranced, she stumbled headlong into a striped police sawhorse.
"My little girlfriend Goncha," Ozbey remarked solemnly, "would very much like to meet your G7 girls."
"I'm sure that can be arranged."
"She's especially fond of the French one."
"Everyone has a favorite G7 girl," Starlitz allowed.
"The French one has the most talent," said Ozbey judiciously. "She can almost sing."
Starlitz nodded.
"Yeah, that's her left bank Café Chanteuse riff."
Starlitz and Ozbey watched the pot foam up once, twice, and the full and traditional third time. Starlitz was pleased to have stolen this moment from the onrushing millennium. It was important to pry these little breathing spaces from the final hum of the dying century. It was good for him, like oxygen. Ozbey removed the curved pot from its flickering burner and with exaggerated hostly care, he began to pour.
"Why is there no Russian G7 girl?" Ozbey said, setting the pot aside. "Because it's the group of eight now, officially, with Russia."
"That's an odd thing," said Starlitz, accepting his cup.
"No one ever asks me why we have no Russian girl in the group,
unless they're Russian."
"You don't like Russians, Mr. Starlitz?"
"I fucking love Russians," Starlitz said politely. "But Russians just don't get it with the tie-in merchandising angle. They still think that a pop group has to sell music."
Ozbey removed his shades, folded them fastidiously, put them in an inner jacket pocket. He lifted his gleaming demitasse and gazed at Starlitz across its gilded rim.
"Selling the whole concept," he quoted.
"Right you are."
Starlitz savored a sip. He rinsed his molars with the coffee grounds, that subtle flavor of cardamom. Business was good.